Hello, friends and folks, and welcome to another Scanline Media podcast. I'm Six Detmar from the aforementioned media of scanning lines.
I'm Jennifer Uncle from the House of Scanline.
I am Kyrie Page, recently recruited into the House of Scanline. It wasn't hard. You just kind of had to, like, I asked, and it wasn't much of a problem.
You're a regular Sylvain. You're like, oh, you're a lady. Okay.
Oh,
all right.
We going there?
I mean, listen, where else is there to go when we're talking about Fire Emblem Three Houses? And this is the I'm not going to say no spoiler. I'm going to say low spoiler cast.
Low percent spoiler.
Right. Because, I mean, are we going to talk, like, specifically, let's talk pre-time skip, I think, seems fair.
Yeah.
Right?
That's where I'm at. I'm still in pre-time skip. I've gotten to the point where the creepy priest Tomas turned out to be a creepy priest. So
he was like, I'm Victor Von Doom, and you're like, Dr. Doom, what are you doing here? And he was like, it's a crossover.
Yep, I'm gonna do an infinites in the corner.
Foot dive.
We're just foot diving constantly.
Man, foot dive was a good button.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, we should start off at the top by establishing what house we're from besides Scanline Media, apparently.
Right.
So, between the three of us, we have every house represented.
Yep.
I'm apparently the popular one because I'm Black Eagles.
Yep, and I'm the one that everyone warned me not to pick, but... screw y'all, it was a good choice, the Blue Lions.
And I went with the one that everyone seems to ignore, the Golden Deer.
So, as the most experienced with the game, because I'm in the middle of my second playthrough now, because I'm trying to see, Black Eagles is the only one that has two routes, so I'm trying to see
there
the
are
Black
two
Eagle route.
Routes for Black Eagles? Wow.
There are, yeah. Wow. Nobody else gets that, just the Black Eagles.
No wonder they're so popular.
So, it's like, here's sort of the breakdown of, what the house represents. What does your Fire Emblem house say about you? So, Black Eagles is, like, queer anti-fash with fash tendencies, which is weird, right?
Yeah, that's kind of what I've been hearing about Black Eagles, is that Edelgard basically wants to, like, tear down the whole system from the top to bottom. Just kind of wants to rip it apart.
Uh-huh. She's not subtle about that. And so she's like, listen, in order to get to a place where there's no system, I have to make the biggest, worst system. And you're like, that's interesting. And then, Blue Lions is, you know, I thought I knew what Blue Lions was. Jen, why don't you tell me what Blue Lions was? I know what the Golden Deer are, but Blue Lions, I thought I knew, and then things have gotten complicated. Tell me, what's your quick pitch for the Blue Lions? And be honest.
Okay, so,
Dimitri has good bangs.
I'd say Dimitri has boy band bangs, but, yeah, basically, the thing with the Blue Lions is, Dimitri is the Prince of Fergus, and, he's set up to be the king eventually, because his, before any of this started, like, several years ago, his father was killed by the, was apparently killed by the people of Dusker, so... essentially, he's going to be next in line for the kingdom as soon as he is of age and trains enough. And his whole attitude towards everything, at least at the beginning, is more or less like, okay, when I'm king, I'm going to make sure to bring everyone together, honor everyone's... basically, I'm going to make sure that everyone's voice is heard. I don't agree that the people of Dusker caused my father's death, so I'm going to make sure that they have an equal place in our kingdom. and I'm going to do the right thing. And we're, how deep do you want me to go pre-time skip?
I mean, I took like 4 words, so I tell you what.
Okay,
so here's,
go ahead and yeah.
Dimitri is suspiciously set up to be like, oh, hey, I'm just going to be, everyone can just call me whatever they want, and I'm going to make sure that everything is going to be on the right path, and there's something that feels weirdly detached with the way that he's doing that stuff, so you're kind of meant to start to feel suspicious about his true goals.
Okay, so he's Disney's The Lion King. Got it. And then Golden Deer are a bunch of Twitter shit posters.
Yeah, basically, like, far as I could tell, with most of the interactions with the support cast and just the main, like, the main attraction is Claude, which is still a complete, it is a crime that Claude cannot S-rank the male Byleth. Like, I'm just gonna put that out there. Like, Mads is bisexual. Like, intelligent systems, you're not being very intelligent right here, because fucking look at him.
Yeah, there's an interesting thing where there are, like, I don't think, like, listen, it's fine that not everyone in this game is queer, right? Uh-huh. But, like, they don't know. Like, they draw these characters, and you're like, yo, Catherine is extremely gay. What do you, look at that hair. What are you talking
Catherine
about?
Catherine with her fucking feathered hair, absolutely mm-hmm. a lesbian.
Like, feathered hair, lipstick, and a giant multi-pronged glowing sword. Like, oh yeah, no, she's definitely straight. I'm convinced.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Same could go for Claude. Same could go for... who else in the cast? Oh, I can never pronounce her name right. Lysithia. I love Lysithia a lot. Mm-hmm. She actually is kind of one of my favorite support characters so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally poached her ass. She's great.
Yeah, she's basically like the the Golden Deer are basically just a loose conglomeration of houses, it seems, like people from all over the region. Claude is just kind of, he's next in line to be like a duke, and he's not huge into it, but he does have some other ambitions. Like, what happens is when you get the Sword of Creation, he mentions that he's like a little, he's jealous that he cannot wield the Sword of Creation, and that you, the player character, do wield it. So it's interesting. So you start to figure out that, like, yeah, he's a little loosey-goosey and just sort of like here to have a good time, but you start to suspect that he also has his other ambitions as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the general arc for a lot of these characters is you start off by seeing a broad personality trait, and as you get closer in, you see that they've all had their own tragic history in one way or another, and eventually everyone kind of learns to, as people learn about each other's histories, they learn how to respect one another, and end up, some of them even end up liking each other.
Yeah.
So far, the only exception I've seen to that is Hubert, who is great, but Hubert, I haven't gotten any sense of any kind of tragic history for him, any history at all, really, because every support conversation with him is someone being like, Hubert being like, what are you doing? And they're like, oh, I'm training so I can be a better soldier. And he's like, good, you're fucking pathetic and you need to serve my lady better. Rank B. And you're like, what?
Yeah, Hubert seems like a lot. There's an artist that I follow on Twitter. She drew a picture of Edelgard in a bathing suit and a floaty, and you can see in the background Hubert just like with a snorkel way in the background, just like observing.
He doesn't seem to. I suggest that perhaps he's ace and just. Just a fucking weirdo, honestly.
That's what I mean. Like, yeah, he seems like a complete and total weirdo.
There's like this. This happens if you get when you're Black Eagles and you get C rank with Edelgard, and this is like basically verbatim the conversation. He's like, greetings, and you have a you have basically two options that are just like hi or like hey, and he's like, you don't seem intimidated, and you're like, why would I be intimidated? He's like, it seems like Lady Edelgard's becoming your friend, and you're like, yep, and you're like, that's a problem. If you get close to her, I'll fucking kill you. And you're like, all right. Bye, Hubert. Have a good day.
Listen, Hubert. Excuse me, Hubert. This is the dining hall.
Yeah, even Felix, who initially starts off by more or less chewing everyone out whenever he's talking to them, like when Ash talks about how he wants to be a knight, like in books. The various chivalric tales he's read, Felix is like, that's a bad idea. Stop being silly. You suck. And Ash's response to that is basically being like, oh, wow, you talk just like the person in this book. And by the second support conversation, Felix is like, okay, I understand. Basically, I don't want you to be naive, but also you have goals, and that's awesome, so I'm going to fight to the death to protect your goals. And Ash is like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah. Felix is a character that is very antagonistic towards people, but the closer he gets to them, the much nicer he is to them. And he's pretty delightful to have in any party, it seems like, any house, because you can just recruit people that you end up liking.
Mm-hmm. I need to work on recruiting more people into my house, because I like most of the members of my house. The only one I don't like is Lorenz, and Lorenz is probably the closest analog to like the stuck-up characters, but Lorenz just kind of sucks. He's just his whole deal is, like, he's totally obsessed about, like, the different houses and, like, people's position in the houses. But that leaves him to be openly manipulated by other people in often really funny ways, which is, like, the only saving grace of his support conversations. For example, if the support conversation that he has with Hilda is, like, Hilda basically giving him a wink and, like, just being like not even flirtatious, just sort of like vaguely suggestive, and Lorenz is like, I will do anything for you, my lady, and she's like, okay, great, can you clean this like thing for me, can you fight for me in the battlefield? I don't really want to do that, which is also funny to think about because Hilda is probably one of my best fighters, and her whole character arc seems to be not wanting to be on the front lines. So I put her out there because she's really, really good with an axe.
Yeah, I've been trying to recruit Lorenz recently, and your support conversations with him as Byleth are, I guess I appreciate that the game has a perspective for this, where it's Byleth being like, Lorenz,
you're being a creep.
I'm getting a lot of complaints. You need to stop trying to get all the women to marry you. They hate it and you're the worst. And he's like, oh, I need to change my approach. I'm like, buddy, you're not getting it. Everyone hates you.
Yeah, he says at one point something along the lines of like, oh, it is a conspiracy against me. Now I understand. And it's like, no, Lorenz, you're just kind of like a dipshit. Support conversations with Sylvain is the same thing, where like, I've had one support conversation between the two of them where basically Sylvain and Lorenz are trying to pick up women and they're just both constantly dunked on and told to go fuck off.
Yeah, Sylvain's in the Blue Lion's house and he's basically, his whole thing is he's a pickup artist. He sleeps around with lots of women without necessarily telling them that he's sleeping around. He's basically very laid back in life and is good at things without trying sometimes, but if he actually appreciates someone, he will go out of his way to give them good advice and generally be a good friend. But the more you find out about him, the more you find out that he more or less hates women because he was born with a crest and he had to watch as his older brother got more or less disowned from the family because his older brother didn't have a crest. He started to see the women that were asking him out as more or less trying to get his crest power. So he treats women as a game and more or less does whatever without really thinking about their feelings. And he does actually try to do the same thing with Byleth at first. And the one of the culminations of one of the social links is him basically being like, you know, when you came to here, I really resented you and I thought you were awful and I tried to treat you like the way I treat other women. And now I know that was a mistake.
Still a big piece of shit, but like at least he seems to be like a... I don't know, he's interesting. Like, if nothing else, I appreciate that most of the conversations is, like, with the other female characters, is the female characters telling him to go away, which is appreciated. Like, even Marianne, who's, like, the very sheepish, very demure, like, extremely, like, introverted and reserved person, very politely tells Sylvain that she's good.
Yeah, the whole thing with... what's the name of that? Oh, yeah, the whole thing with Flayne and Sylvain is Flayne basically using him to get free meals, which is great.
Yeah.
My favorite of those is with Dorothea, who just tears... Because Dorothea is the other side of the coin, right? Where she's like... She's kind of a female pickup artist, honestly. She's doing a lot of flirting and going out with people herself. I think she does it more respectfully.
Yeah.
And then Sylvain goes to flirt with her, and she, like, I don't have it word for word, but please understand, I'm not reading between the lines. This is just what she says. She's like, here's the thing, though. You're just flirting because it's fun. You actually hate women, and you actually treat them like shit, and fuck you. And, like, she just goes, like,
goes in
very,
on
very hard. Yeah. And it's pretty fantastic because Sylvain is like, he doesn't completely lose his cool, but he's kind of like, all right, just taking it back. And it's great because, it's weird because by the end of the game, and I can't spoil too much by the end of the game, I like Sylvain. He's a problematic mess. But you know, it's like,
but
his heart is sort of in the right place.
He's
he just has a lot of issues.
He's at least like a understandable problematic mess, it seems like. He is that trope that for some reason Japanese games love with the womanizer character, but at least it's like, oh, the game is willing to call out his behaviors, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's something. He's a good cavalier. I will say that he's decent, like, as a frontline person, because I've been doing a lot of battling.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, like, too. If we can, like, take a quick aside into, like, the combat of this game, I am...
No, we can take a full seg into the gameplay of the game. It's okay, we don't need an aside.
What are you talking about? Isn't this a visual novel with a strategy game on the side?
Yeah, there's something to do with the strategy portions. Now, I'm playing, I am a casual, I'm on casual, but I'm also on normal mode. I don't know about what y'all are playing on, but, like, this game is pretty good, it turns out, in terms of its, like, challenge. But there is also something to be said about just completely wiping the floor with your units. Like, most of my units, save for Lorenz. Lorenz is a slacker. Everyone else in my class is, like, level 18, level 20 or so, and I just finished the battle between the, you know, the three house battle.
Mm-hmm.
That was a total stomp. That was great. It was basically telling Edelgard and Dimitri, it's like, yeah, you may think we're a bunch of slackers, but well, except for one. It's true in Lorenz's case, but everyone else, we kick ass. I actually really like how the units play in Golden Deer quite a bit because there's a fair number of archers and distance units. So there's a lot of really fun, like, maneuvering that you get to do with them. Mm-hmm. Because since, like, Claude is a archer and everyone seems to be, like, pretty much spec to, like, with the exception of maybe Sylvain and Hilda, are spec to, like, do distance combat with either magic or speed, like, or javelins or something like that. Like, it's really interesting. It becomes like a positioning puzzle whenever I do combat with them.
One of the things I like with this one is that compared to other Fire Emblems, there's a lot more options. Like, anyone can be, except for the few gender-locked classes, anyone can be any class, and so you can kind of, like fit, you know, square pegs into round holes if you want. I have taken, like, on my second playthrough here, just because I thought it would be funny, I turned Bernadetta, who is everybody's favorite. She's incredible.
I'm not secretly eating cake.
The purple-haired, like, skittish hikikomori, who starts out, of course, aiming for archer skills. I turned her into a brawler because I thought it would be funny, and it definitely is.
I saw a video where somebody turned Marianne into a brawler, and that was hilarious because they managed to knock out, like, one of the monsters in the game with Marianne as a brawler.
It's very good. We have all at this point met the Death Knight, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I had the final boss fight against the Death Knight in the game, because you fight him more than once, mm-hmm. and, you know, of course, there's a point where it's a, sort of the final fight with him.
Right.
And I attacked him with Lysithia, and he's like, "Be gone, I have no time for wastes such as you." And then I critted him for 210 damage. And I was like, "Oh yeah, bitch? Oh yeah?"
Lysithia is like, she's such a strong magician. I love her so much. Mm-hmm. And her supports are really funny. She has a fear of ghosts. Like, if you do her support conversation with Byleth, you find her wandering in the middle of the courtyard at night, mostly because she's trying to, like, build up the courage to do so. And she's like, "Oh, hi, Professor. This has nothing to do with my totally non-existent fear of ghosts."
Mm-hmm. She'd get along great with Ash then, because he's also deathly afraid of ghosts.
Yeah, a lot of characters are just sort of, like, scared of ghosts. Do ghosts exist in the Fire Emblem universe?
Thinking about, I mean, undead exist.
Yeah, like, that's what I mean. It's like zombies certainly exist. I'm just saying, it's like, are their fears completely unfounded? Because, I mean, Fire Emblem as a franchise, I'm almost entirely certain ghosts have shown up beforehand.
Yes, in Sacred Stones there were ghosts.
Oh.
And also, I mean, even if they weren't, like, you know, I've never met a ghost, but also if someone tells me they're afraid of ghosts, it's like, okay, I mean,
I don't not believe in ghosts.
Right, like, you know, shit happens. Also, they don't even have, like very much science and shit. It seems like all the more plausible in a world of magic that ghosts could be a problem that someone hasn't figured out yet.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, Jen, I cut you off because I was placating about ghosts over here.
I was just gonna say, one thing I do appreciate about the combat is they got rid of the weapon wheel entirely. In the past Fire Emblem games, it was a situation where it was rock, paper, scissors between, I think it was like axe, bow and sword, or something along those lines.
Lance and sword.
Yeah.
I put a bunch of hours into Awakening and Fates, and I can't even tell you what the weapon triangle is.
Yeah, it's honestly just a confusing thing to keep in the back of your mind, so they get rid of that entirely. Like, you still have units that shouldn't really go against other units, and that's marked by having down arrows when you're trying to attack someone, or if it's gonna go real bad, there's usually a red exclamation mark next to them, but it streamlines the combat in a way that makes it so much more fun for me to play than how I felt when I was playing Awakening.
Yeah, plus later they have the opportunity to give skills to different characters. Like, do lances beat swords? Six is
In
very
classically, yeah, classically, yes.
Yeah, so lance characters can learn this skill called sword breaker, in which they have advantage over sword units, but that is like that's way down the line when you level them up, which I appreciate, which is one way to like keep the spirit of the weapon wheel like there without making it so like it, because like combat in previous games in Awakening for sure it was so baked in where it was like, oh, if I don't have the right units like in this one area, like I'm just fucked, I can't do anything. But here it seems like you get have more of a choice of like the type of units that you like to use. Like it, I appreciate it being more open-ended in that regard. So I can just train up and like bring the units that I like into battle without having to worry about like my team composition so much. I only really have to worry about like leveling and making sure everybody is leveled properly. But even then, they introduce a system. I forget exactly what it's called in the game, but you can assign a unit to another unit, where basically they are stacked. In previous games, it used to be you had to manually move the unit on top of each other in order to like that was an in-battle thing, but now it's a out of combat like before the game before combat even starts, you can pair units up, and that's really good for, you know, raising your lower level units and, you know, just giving like your main units a buff as well. I mostly put Lorenz with Lysithia because I want Lysithia to show what a real mage looks like.
So, okay, you've Jen, you played some Awakening. Kyrie, you said you played Awakening and Fates. Are those the two you've played?
Yes,
Or more?
those are the main ones that I've played. I want to go back and actually dabble with the GBA ones because I heard like the GBA ones are rather good, and there was the last one that came out on 3DS. I forget what it was called.
Shadows of Valencia, Fire Emblem Echoes.
Yeah, that's the one that this game was almost a 3DS game, but they decided to halt their production while they worked on Shadows of Valentia, and then around the time when they got to start making this again, the Nintendo Switch was coming out, and someone was like, "Hey, why don't we just make another home console one since that hasn't happened since 2007." So they went ahead and made this.
Oh, and that 2007 one was a mess.
The Wii one, Path of Radiance. What was wrong with it?
Or Radiant Dawn, actually.
Radiant
Path of
Dawn.
Radiance was the GameCube one. The difficulty was so fucked. I own every Fire Emblem game that's come out in the States, including like Fire Emblem Warriors, right? And I have beaten almost all of them. I have not beaten Radiant Dawn because there's just points where it's just like, well, first off, they renamed all the difficulties for some reason. They renamed normal to easy, and then hard to normal, and
Oh,
then
God.
insane to hard. So you pick normal, and like, I got a game over in the tutorial, and I was like, the fuck?
A game? You're not. Wow,
And
that's.
I've played a lot of these games. It was just like, oh, I guess this guy ran up to me and got a crit, and that was that. Great. Which, by the way, in this game, enemies can't get crits, which is nice. You
Oh,
get to
man.
plan for that.
Nice. I do appreciate that they, I don't know if they explicitly took a book out of Into the Breaches or took a page out of Into the Breaches book, because you get a preview of what units are going to attack what units when you hover over them, and I find that very helpful because that helps me strategize a lot more efficiently rather than, well, I'm going to put this unit out there and hope it gets attacked if I want to advance this at all.
Yeah, and another fun thing about this Fire Emblem is they had a decent amount of help from Koei Tecmo, who make a ton of Musou games, and since Koei Tecmo made Fire Emblem Warriors, they were like, "Hey, why don't you help us figure out how to make one of these games on the Switch. And it, as a result of that, you have situations like, basically you can hire battalions for each character, and essentially when two units clash that have battalions next to them, you more or less get to see a little fight going on in the background, and the battalions can also rush in and do their own status effect damage to whatever unit you're fighting.
I gave Lysithia a fucking lightning bolt ability, and that is rad because it just summons down a huge lightning bolt and hits a bunch of surrounding units, and it's just great.
I do, for my part, kind of miss some of the old Fire Emblem mechanics. Like, I like the weapon triangle, actually. I mean, it's neat that you have so much freedom in this, but it also kind of makes it feel like there's no reason to explore the systems as much as you could. So I think that's kind of a bummer, personally. Mm-hmm. And then, like, also, I don't know, I miss some things. Like, one of the problems with the class system in this is, like, if you compare it to Fates, which is the last one, which Fates, as far as, I think the scale of the gameplay of Fates got out of control, I think the writing was atrocious.
Oh, yeah.
The writing in Fates was extremely bad, with the exception of a few characters who are like, okay, I like this character a lot. But, like, the overall plot and stuff was really, really bad. But in Fates, it was like everyone had a pool of classes that they could access, and they were all viable for that character. Whereas in this, like, when I did my first playthrough, Dorothea was like, I like came up to me and did the, you know, the thing where they say, like, I want to set my goals this way, and was like, I really want to focus on being a great swords master. And I was like, that sounds great. Why don't you do that? And fucking 20 levels later, she's out-leveling enemies by, like, 15 levels, and she runs up to them to do a sword attack, and she attacks once for 5 damage. And I'm like, girl, you're fucking trash with a sword, I'm sorry. You're terrible.
Yeah, there's also the matter of the master classes, which is more of a thing in the second half, but it's worth mentioning here that in order to get someone up to the point of a master class, you have to invest a lot of time and experience training them in things that you're never going to actually use them for. Like, you have to, like, more than half of the master classes involve a mounted unit, and at that point, getting a mounted unit involves having X level with lance, so you have to make sure everyone is good at lances. And that just seems so unrealistic. Why would I need to do that for Ash? He can just... Ash is a monster when it comes to arrows. Why can't he just learn how to ride a horse and how to shoot his bow and arrow, and then we're good?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some weird, like... I looked at the season pass, which I bought, but there's not any indication that they're going to be adding more classes, which I really wish they would, because as they go on, there become some really, like, obvious holes, I would say.
Yeah.
Especially in the master classes, where it feels like there's so much not represented. Like, you mentioned how, like, almost every master class you have to, like, get you on horseback. Also, almost every master class involves, like, magic. There's basically no option for becoming a master and not knowing magic. And it's like, can't Felix just be good with, like, weapons?
Yeah, like, yeah. I'm training Byleth up in, like, swords because I knew I wanted to make Byleth a sword master, but, like, mm-hmm. I also realized, like, one of the master classes, like, requires sword and, like, black magic, and it's like, mm-hmm. why can't I just be really good at sword? Why can't it just be, like, someone is just excels at, like, one thing? It seems like, does this change, like, Six, you've played through it, and on your second way through, are you playing it on, like, the harder difficulties? Like, do the harder difficulties, like, teach you or want you to, like, expand and go for interesting class setups, or, like, what's the deal?
I mean, like, they've said, basically, that they're going to be adding a harder difficulty. Hard isn't that much harder. In my opinion, I always play on classic just because I've played Fire Emblem for so long that just is part of my mindset. So that part I've always done, but, like, I think it's more like you learn the how nice it is to have like truly versatile units, right? Like, I'm at chapter 5 in my second playthrough. I've been grinding a lot, and I'm at a point where almost anyone, like, almost everyone has access to a melee weapon they're good with and a ranged attack of some sort that they're good with. And so it's like, they're just very flexible. A lot of them can heal. And it's just like, it's really nice to have. So I think it's more like quality of life stuff. I'm imagining once we get to that harder difficulty they're going to add, then it will become more essential. But I don't even know if I'll play that, because I don't know that I'm here to just, you know, like, I'm not here to get my ass kicked.
I'm mostly here for the story personally, so that's why I kind of appreciate how open-ended it is, because mm-hmm. it allows me to just put the units that I want, that I like, onto the battlefield. I will, with the right amount of effort, I'll be able to deal with almost any scenario, and I'll be able to get back to, like, looking at the support conversations and, you know, experiencing the story, which I rather like so far. Like, the main plot, like, I actually find it rather compelling so far. Like, I appreciate that, like, almost immediately it has you suspicious of, like, the gay pope. oh, Rhea, that's her name.
No, you got it right the first time.
Right. Like, make you immediately suspicious of her. In fact, I did the, I think it was a story mission where you get the Lance of Ruin. And I initially said, no, I'm not going to give you the Lance of Ruin. And she got real mad for a second.
Yeah.
Because I was like, no, wait a minute. Hold on. Maybe the church shouldn't be gathering these holy artifacts and being the sole, sole owner of these really powerful weapons.
And I forget who it is, but after the fact, there's someone, I don't know if it's, I don't remember if it's house specific or not, but someone's like, hey, did you give him the lance? And I'm like, no. And they're like, good. Fuck that. it's probably Edelgard. Just knowing Edelgard, it's probably Edelgard.
It's probably Edelgard, because Claude was just more fascinated by, like, my ability to use the Sword of Creation, or the Tenten no Te, which is just a lot of fun to listen to, because I'm playing in Japanese.
Yeah, for the Lance of Ruin, I think that it was a thing that was less of a issue, because that lance belonged to Sylvain's house, and then we're less like, okay, yeah, you can just give that to Sylvain, because it seems like a good idea to do that. But yeah, I've been playing in English, and the English voice acting is, for the most part, pretty fantastic. Like, all the actors are doing a great job. There's a bit where Annette, I think that's her name, yeah, the redhead, she does a little song about sweets and treats and cakes, and it's very well sung. And yeah, all of the voice acting is fantastic. And
yeah, when I was over at your place, Jen, and you were playing it, I was listening to parts of it in English, and the only reason I'm playing in Japanese is because I'm a huge weeb, and I liked what I heard of the English. Six, what language are you playing on?
I'm playing in Japanese.
Right.
So,
yeah. Which, I noticed that I don't know exactly how far this goes, but Setheth? Or whatever his name is, I can immediately sort of tell that he's gonna have, like, some sort of deal going on, because he's voiced by Dio.
Yeah, wait, you noticed that too, huh?
Yeah, the voice actor in Japanese is the same actor for Dio Brando, and that guy never voices, like, completely heroic characters. He's been typecast as a villain since, like, the 80s.
On the other hand, though, and I'm not spoiling anything, but, like, what if, I mean, like, they could easily use that, you know, to throw off your expectations, right?
Sure, which I am okay with, like, my expectations being thrown off. Like, I don't know necessarily what I was expecting getting into this game, but I really appreciate it for what it is so far, being like 20 hours in. Like I'm certainly, like, especially with the last game being so, with Fates being like, the writing was rough in Fates. I like Corrin as a character, but that's about it.
Hana, you gotta represent Hana.
Yeah.
it's a gay samurai who doesn't realize she's in love with her, with the lady she's protecting. It's incredible. She's the best.
Wait, which game is this?
That's Fates.
Oh, okay.
I may be reading a little more into the text than they do anything with.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems to be, like, the case with Fire Emblem games in general, is that they have, like, some good toss-ups, but they don't exactly follow through.
Yeah. There's been multiple conversations between various characters like Mercedes and Annette and Felix and Sylvain, where their social links are basically end by being like, you're the best person ever in my life. I want to die by your side. I want you to continue making food for me for the rest of my days. And then it's like, oh yeah, by the way, we're totally not gay. And it's like, what is going on?
or the fact that Manuela openly hits on you as the female character, like, as, like, Byleth, and it's like, are you fucking kidding me? How is Manuela not in S rank? Because she is openly pansexual at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. Manuela's great. Like, just all of her random dialogue is just so good, where she's just like, wait, like, one of the first ones you get is like, she's like, this is outrageous. Would you believe this? I brought a knight back to my room last night for sex! And he was like, it's dirty in here, I'm going home. Like, what the fuck?
Yo, what is going on? Who turned down Manuela?
It must have been a really dirty room.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the thing. One of the early social moments you have with her is you basically knocking on her door to just ask her a few questions, and it takes her like 3 minutes to get up because she's hungover and her room is a mess. So you hear her tripping over things and trying to clear things up a bit. And when she finally gets out and you're just like, I just wanted to say hi, she gets angry like, I did all that work and you were just here to say hi?
Well, it's implied that, like, she sleeps in the nude, so it was like she was trying to find her clothes, but it was also, like, the room is also a mess, so, like, how the heck she like, complains about, like, oh, wait, this clasp doesn't go here. Fuck, what was I wearing? Manuela is a hot mess, and I love her.
Yeah. Manuela was me.
you need to up, if you have to raise the rating of this game just, like, one tier, that's fine. Get more of these characters into relationships that make sense, because you've written them a certain way and then you don't follow up.
Yeah.
And you're wrong. Yeah. You're incorrect.
Yeah. Like, I've seen some really good fan art between Claude and male Byleth, and it's like, man, why? Look at this man. Man's
and also him, like, talking to people being like, hey, you can choke me if you want, it's okay. Like, yeah, no, definitely, you don't have anything going on.
There's an early point, I'm trying to see if I can find the screenshot or not. He says, we may be able to corner the enemy by approaching from both sides, and he's using the frame they have chosen for his head in that moment is the winking one. So it's like, he's like, you know, both sides.
Yeah, sadly, this is a Nintendo game, and this is an intelligent systems game, so, like, Waypoint has gotten into this some, but it's a situation where, even though it technically has, like, three times as many queer relationship options as Fire Emblem Fates did, that's clear. That's just from a mathematical standpoint, and
yeah,
there's, like, basically no queer life within the story.
Yeah,
at least not that they talk about.
Yeah, it is kind of like, it's a missed opportunity for sure.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of the same sex, a lot of the same sex relationships in this, for characters that also you can date as the opposite sex, they don't even change the lines other than a few specific pronouns and things like that.
So here's one thing that's, I read that as well, right? Mm-hmm. I'm glad you brought this up because I would have forgotten. But I was doing one with Dorothea, not quite the S rank, but I was getting up there, and she's very flirty, mm-hmm. right? And the English line was just like, "Oh, I never considered ending up with you," right? Like, it's very generic. But in Japanese, I know enough Japanese that she very specifically references the idea of two girls hooking up. And it's like, huh! You genericized a line that was specifically queer in Japanese.
That's not surprising.
It's just like that's not usually how I feel like that goes.
You think it usually goes the other way around?
I mean, these days, Sailor Moon. I know, but
yeah, cousins.
In that case, it largely depends on who you're dealing with as the translators, because Kobayashi's Dragon Maid also had that issue in Funimation, where certain lines that were clearly queer coded got moved over to just be like, "See, we're really good friends," and meanwhile, the Crunchyroll version was very different and very close. It was closer to what they actually said. And in the case of Nintendo being a bunch of, traditionally being a bunch of old homophobes, then I feel like that might have played into this.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is like, it's nice that certain things have gotten through, but like, it needs like more of it, you know? Because so much of this game is the relationships between the various characters, and that's what is so compelling, I think, about these games. Or, in terms of modern Fire Emblem games, it seems to be very focused on, like, the interconnected lives of these characters. Mm-hmm. And they occasionally go to war, you know? That being said, I do appreciate that the tactics side of it is also just as good. But, right. It needs more queer characters. Claude, he gets around. You know it. I know it.
It needs to stop ignoring the fact that it has lots of queer characters.
Oh, absolutely. Like, Lysithia, like, at one point, like, she openly, like, flirts with Hilda, and Hilda is like, "Oh, she's really cute." And it's like, now I kind of ship them.
Yeah, and you know, like, listen, if it was like a one-off, like, there are times when straight people flirt with each other, that's fine, but like, there's a pattern here, there's a pattern of behavior.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I heard that two characters in particular do like a fake engagement together, and
wouldn't it be funny if we got engaged?
Basically, yeah, and that makes it all the more annoying that they don't have more stuff that's just genuine in this.
I think, well, that one's kind of complicated because I believe it's Ingrid and Dorothea. And I don't know, I haven't gotten far enough with Ingrid to know, but Dorothea is absolutely gay. Like,
yeah.
Like, she's canon gay. Mm-hmm. And so maybe Dorothea is pushing it like, huh? And Ingrid's like, "Haha, I'm playing along. This is funny." And Dorothea's like, "Oh, you think it's funny. Damn it."
Yeah. That was her scheme the whole time. The old fake engagement trick.
"Haha, this is a funny joke. Just sign this fucking wedding certificate. Wouldn't that be funny?"
There's that one paralogue where in the Blue Lions, Ingrid receives, is basically receiving a message that a suitor has been found for her, and Dorothea is immediately like, who the fuck is this person? And then you are pushed by her to go investigate it, and she's like, "No one's gonna take my Ingrid from me."
Yeah.
Well, we should probably stop here, because we're gonna do another one of these once our crew has finished the game. Obviously, I already have, but, you know, like, I can't just be like, "I can't believe it when it turned out that Seth was seven different demon lords in one body. That was crazy."
Turns out Seth was, like, a fucking vampire the whole time.
"I can't believe that Flayne was actually you from the past future." Yeah, it's, you know, there's only so much I could say.
Yeah.
So, we will hold off on further discussion of that until our next time, and we'll just kick it to the plug zone.
Listen to Ultimate Despair Reprise. We got some shit. Shit's gonna pop off.
We got some shit kicked out of us.
Shit kicked out of us. just finished the complete playthrough of Danganronpa 1, and like I said earlier, it's a good game. Turns out that despite some bumps, game is still good, and I can't wait to talk about it in its entirety.
Yeah, and I'm really, really excited to start 2 again.
Yeah, that's gonna be a trip.
Yep, I have some fun ideas planned for that one.
All right. Well,
I need to get back and play more Fire Emblem now.
That's not a bad idea. You know, there are worse ideas, such as following me on Twitter at @6detmar, @6detmar, and there's a pinned tweet there that tells you where to find my stuff. What are your Twitters?
I'm @JBU3 on Twitter, and most of my stuff can be found in the same places where Six's stuff is. We recently completed our Novel Not New HRN podcast on 428 Shibuya Scramble, and we'll be doing it on Avad next, and you can follow along with that at readinggames.online.
And you can follow me at Kyrie Page on Twitter. That is Kyrie, capital A, Page. Don't know why it was capital there, but hey, if you put it in the capital, I'll appreciate it. That is where you'll find me on the internet, and also check out Ultimate Despair Reprise at @UDespairCast at Twitter. That's where we post most of our updates.
Yeah.
But you can find us, all of us, at scanlinemedia.com, and plus, if you contribute to the Patreon at scanlinemedia, it's Patreon, which is patreon.com/scanlinemedia, for only $1, you get access to Oops All Anime, which we just talked about, Given, on Oops All Anime, and that was a lot of fun.
It was.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, until we return, peace out, everybody, as opposed to the war that these characters seem insistent on propagating.
Fuck the war. Claude is a bisexual. Everybody should just sit down and have a good time.
In this world or that one, never trust the Pope.
Never trust the Pope.
Make support ranks, not war.
Yep. Good night, everybody.
Later.